Today's scripture reading is from 1 Peter 5:7 and from Matthew 11:28 to 30. First, 1 Peter. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And then Matthew, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. For those of you that don't know, I am Pam Church, and I'm from Transformation in House Springs, and in the future from Eureka. So it's just good to be back and see familiar faces and see new faces. And so I found this morning in one of my devotionals, so I want to put this little thought in here before we start and offer another prayer. So it says, whatever you are carrying, whatever hurt you are holding on to, open your hands and visualize letting it go. So I want you to be in an attitude of prayer and just think about releasing that. I'm very visual, so I think of just handing it over to God or actually laying it at his feet. So let us pray. God, I am in awe of you. The problems of the world around me can be frightening, but you are greater than any problems. I'm so grateful I can always count on you. Your will is perfect and your plans are good. Your power is perfected in my weakness, and it is greater than any situation I might face. Thank you for showing up, showing me your faithfulness every day. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm here to share about my identity theft. And this is also a public service announcement because I'll share the instructions I received. So I want you to know this is very relevant to these days. Most of my mail's always mailed at the post office, and you know, when all of this came out, don't put your mail in those outside boxes, I quit immediately. So my identity theft began with mail fraud. And so that mail fraud had to do with inside the post office with postal workers. And I have heard, and this is hearsay, that there's a big ring at the distribution center, and they're just about ready to crack that ring. So I just want you to know that it's very, and in our elephant devotional group, we have two, because we had another person in our group that also had identity fraud from mail fraud. And so I just want you to know, and then my friend called me because she knew about mine and said her son. And actually, they cashed a big check over $4,000 on his account, but they were able to recover the money to put and hit back in his account, and the bank also got their money back. So this is very relevant right now. So I had an outstanding check that was small, and with the slow mail service we've had, I just thought it had either been lost or destroyed in a machine. So I didn't, because it was to Lowe's and we shop there frequently, I thought, oh, that'll come in later, or if it doesn't come in, you know, they would just apply it as a credit to our account. So I'm thrifty. I didn't want to pay that big stop payment fee. So anyway, the scripture this morning are two of my favorites because this is how I deal with anxiety, and this is how I deal, you know, with sleepless nights. So I just want to share because Pastor Harold, I said, you're taking my message, Pastor Harold, because he used the cast all your anxiety on him. But he really, this came from his 1 Peter 5:7. And when you think about it, Peter was a fisherman. So he took that big net and they have to cast it way out over the water. So when we have things that are bothering us, we need to throw that to God, cast it away as far as you can, get it away from you so you can have your peace. So on April 22nd, I received a phone call from a bank on our landline, but it was a branch number I didn't recognize. The banker told me her name and asked if I had written a check to, I don't actually remember the name, the last name was Robinson, and gave me the amount, which was like $3,670.15. I said, no, I did not write that check. And so we had connect, there was static in the connection from all the rain. So I said, she said, I'll call you back on your cell, and gave me my last four digits. And I said, just give me a minute because I'm in the basement. So I ran up the steps and grabbed my phone and called my local branch, because I didn't know if this was another scam on the phone. And so my local banker looked up the branch, verified the lady I was talking to, and then she seen a lot of notes on my account. And she said, Pam, there was a check that's been brought into that branch. And so that branch in Kansas City was called the Armor, and it was down there by the plaza. So I must say, I hung up from my local branch, and then I talked to the banker at that branch. But I must say, I needed cast all your anxiety on him, because I was very anxious. They had the check, but when I talked to the bank there, they had the check in their possession, so they had kept it. They had and they had frozen our joint. They froze the account. They canceled our debit cards. And so it was like we had direct deposits coming in on the 30th. And so I called my local bank back, made an appointment. We went the next day, and so we opened a new bank account the next day, transferred the funds to the new account, ordered new checks, new debit cards, and then we received a temporary debit card to use until those came, because we had to wait. So we checked there, too, to see anything that was outstanding. And so we only had two payments, checks that were out. One was to the electric company, and the other one, ironically, was to Lowe's. So it's like, oh boy. So we were able to call. So we just had to call all of our direct deposits, and we had like five. So it's like we had to call the retirement place, and they were able to change it over the phone. My banker said, oh, you can call Social Security. You can change that over the phone. Well, guess what? 2 weeks prior, they stopped that, I guess, because of fraud, and you had to go in person to the Social Security office, and they won't let you make an appointment for just changing a bank thing. So we went in, and you just go in and have to wait, but you can get it done right away. The other two deposits, we had to have one form they were able to email to us. The other form, we had to wait for them to mail to us. And so when I sent the first one off, I'm like, anxious. It's got our new routing number. It's got our signatures to send in. So I registered it, said a prayer, and mailed it. And the other form came back, too, right away. And they told us if you had it there by a certain time, you could, it would still be like everybody told us it would take at least 2 months, maybe 3 months, to get all these deposits changed over. So the bank, so our line of credit, our equity line of credit was due. So I just had taken the paperwork in because our IRAs were coming due. So we decided, we made an appointment for the next month to get that line of credit redone. But then after I got home, I thought, I don't know. It was just an urge. I called her back. I go, let's just do that now since we're at the bank all the time right now. So we made that for the 28th to start the renewal process. So I had to call. I could not transfer deposits. They had to be the two deposits that came in on the 30th, the bank had to transfer it. So they were able to let that credit part stay open. So all of our deposits were in our, I want to tell you, this is what the miracle is. All of our deposits were in our new account in May, except for one, because when we called the retirement distribution center, they forgot to do both of them. They had only done one. So that was the first thing I looked at. I looked at my old account to see that the deposit was there, and there was only one. And I'm like, where's the other one? So then I called and checked on the new account, and it was in there. So it's amazing. I mean, God was with us this whole time, I want to tell you. So that Sunday, I asked, during our prayers and concerns, I asked Pastor Harold, I just lift us up because of this identity fraud. And then during the sermon, it's like Pastor Herod looked right at me and he said, Pam, you have to love the scammer too. And I was like, and I said to my daughter sitting next to me, I go, I love that teller, but I can tell you I don't want to love that scammer. And that's a human response to that. So, but I did feel like God was using Pastor Harold to tell me, because, I mean, he looked direct. I mean, it was direct, and it was bold, and I was like, oh, I was kind of taken aback. And so, but because Jesus tells us in Luke 10:27, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:44-45, but I tell you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous. So I pray that this scammer will come to know God. And if they have turned away from God, I pray that they will return to him. Because, you know, Ephesians 6 tells us, put on that full armor of God and take a stand. So God's word is our sword of protection. And I prayed for that scammer because I know that's being obedient to God's word. I prayed for the teller, and I prayed for the fraud department, and for my new friend at my local branch. And now when I call up there, everybody up there knows me, and they're like, you know, so it's really kind of fun. And so I thank God for his presence in this situation. And I found joy in little things, like the branch name being called Armor, and the protection that they gave us. So, you know, they have training on these wash checks and things, and this lady caught it right away. Okay, so it gets better. The morning of May 6th, our local banker called us to let us know that our renewal was going much faster than she had seen in the past. Our credit check was complete, and they were sending someone to take pictures and do an appraisal. That afternoon, Sarah called me back to say, Pam, I'm really sorry, but I was checking your account. I saw more notes from the fraud department, and that showed the scammer had my complete Social Security number, my date of birth, and my mother's maiden name, and it had called at least one other bank in the Kansas City area. She advised me to call each of the top three credit bureaus separately to report fraud and to freeze my credit. And by the way, if you report to one credit bureau, all three get it. So you don't have to call all three any longer. They just all do it. It's all taken care of in one call. Or one, you know. But anyway, so I couldn't speak to, you know, when I learned, I lost my spot. So it was cast all your anxiety on him, because I tell you, when she called and let me know that, my mind was racing, my heart was pounding, and I have a phobia of getting online, and Rob wasn't there to like to hold my hand for me to try to do this. So I just cried, Lord, help me. And you know, he gave me his word, and it was in, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And this peace just came over me, and I realized he was with me from the beginning. I did not have any sleepless nights like I had 2 weeks prior, and it was just like, you know, I didn't have to unlock the credit freeze because of my credit. They had already taken care of that. And my eyes were open to see that, you know, God was there for me, you know, before and during and after, and he'll never leave me. And all of our, you know, and so it was, like I said, it was amazing. All of those deposits, but the one which was just in there in June, were all taken care of right away. We didn't really have to wait. And so the struggles we're in today will produce the strength you need for tomorrow. So we know we're all going to be, you're either, like Pastor Harold says, you're either going through a trial, coming out of a trial, or getting ready to go into a trial. Because that's just life. In this world, we'll have trouble, but take heart. Because do you know what? Jesus overcome death. And so that's our, you know, that's what we have to remember. So it's so crazy how God works. But he, as I was preparing this message, Monica, part of our praise team, she sent a video that came from Instagram, and it was Mr. Daryl Black. And so it just resonated in me. So I wanted to share this. How long do you pray? You pray until something happens. You pray until you realize you're not carrying the burden alone. You pray until you're carrying it, you're carrying is no longer heavy but lighter. You pray until you remember who is in control. You pray until you're not afraid anymore, and then you pray some more. You pray until tears turn into trust, because sometimes prayer starts with pain, but it ends with peace. He sees your tears, but he also is shaping your strength. You pray until your faith gets louder than your fear. You keep showing up until what you believe drowns out what you're scared of. You pray until your mind stops racing and you can rest in our Savior, because his word reminded you to be still and know that I am God. You pray until you stop begging and start believing, because you're not just praying to a distant God. You are standing on the promises of a present Father. You pray until obedience is more important than the outcome. Prayer doesn't just change things. It changes you, and it aligns you with his will. You pray until gratitude breaks through grief, until you start to see that even in your loss, he is still good. You pray until you can see that even in your waiting, he is working. You pray until bitterness turns into forgiveness. His mercy not only covers your sin, it heals your wounds. You pray until anxiety loses its grip on you, even if it comes back tomorrow. You pray again, because peace is not a one-time event. It's a daily pursuit. You pray until hope feels real again. And even if the situation has not changed, he is still the God who can bring dead things back to life. You pray until you can say, not my will, but yours be done. Because the goal of prayer isn't control, it's surrender. Prayer isn't just a one-time fix. It's a lifestyle of anchoring yourself to the peace of God on purpose. You don't stop praying because nothing happens in that moment. You keep praying because it does work. So our trials are invitations to come close to God and become more like him. Giving our burden to the Lord in order to take his yoke may sound like a trade from one burden to another, but the yoke of Jesus is talking about, a symbol of a believer's transformation of total surrender of ourselves to him. It's very hard for us to give up controls of our lives. We're living under false security when we try to carry the load ourselves. I know that when I'm overwhelmed or anxious, I'm trying to live by Pam power and not the power of the Holy Spirit living in me. Until we totally allow God to manage our lives, we will be managed by our problems, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light, and you will find rest for your souls. So our daily prayers, our devotionals, our scripture readings, and meditation prepares us to trust him. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. So when I'm afraid, I will trust God, and that's Psalm 56:3. I know my identity in Christ can never be stolen. So I want you to share your faith today. Notice the people around you, their burdens, their struggles. Allow God to use you to help meet their needs. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your unwavering presence in our lives. We ask that you help us to confront our fears and replace them with faith in your promises. Fill us with your love, power, and self-discipline so we can courageously overcome adversity and fulfill the plans you have for us. Remind us that your love casts out fear, and may we lean on your strength as we navigate life's challenges. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Because of our devotion group, we walked through this with Pam in real time, because she would tell us, okay, this has happened now, this has happened now, and it's very eye-opening to everyone, so just be aware. Our offering message today is, as we prepare to give today, I want to remind you of the simple, powerful truth that we heard earlier from 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Giving can sometimes stir up anxiety about whether we have enough when we have bills to pay or even a future that's uncertain. But God invites us to bring those worries to him, not to carry them alone, not to let them paralyze us, but to trust him fully because he cares for us deeply and personally. When we give, we're not just making a financial transaction, we're making a faith declaration. We're saying, God, I trust you more than my circumstances. I believe you care for me more than I care for myself. And I'm putting my life, including my finances, in your hands. So today, give with peace in your heart, knowing that the God who cares for you will also carry you.